Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator.
What do you think that like deep fear is? Like people find out you're bisexual and then what? Like what is goes beneath that? What well, could happen?
I want everybody to love me.
Right.
Yeah.
And is that if, a radio thing?
It's so pathetic, but I at least I can admit it.
Yeah.
I wished everybody loved me. I wish I had a billion followers on Instagram and everybody told me how great I was all the time. I would love
Don't
that.
Don't they?
No, I mean,
not a billion, but
enough.
You...
They do enough, quite frankly. The way I react to people loving me, it's enough because the ego is embarrassing as well. I've learned that from the radio. It's in the book from where I thought I was. The show was really big, and I'm like, you know what? I think I might actually be the greatest radio host that ever lived. And so it was from feeling really small to thinking you're the biggest person in the
right.
room. And then I realized, man, you're really fucking annoying, and that shit is too much sometimes.
Right.
People don't need to hear how sensational you are all the time. Maybe you should just do your work and not brag about it.
So were you really saying
much.
That on the show a lot? You'd be like, I'm the most...
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm joined by radio host, MMA fighter, and author Jason Ellis to talk about his book, Still Awesome, and how to make your sex and relationship awesome, too. Topics include embracing your sexuality, why coming to terms with it and opening up about it will make you so much happier, ways to make an open relationship work, and what it's actually like, not what you think it's like, why doing your work and going to therapy is vitally important in maintaining relationships with everyone around you, including yourself, and how to talk about what you like sexually without freaking your partner out. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. Find us on social media everywhere. It is Sex with Emily across the board and our website, sexwithemily.com. You're going to love it. There's a lot of great information there to help you have the sex life that you want, especially this year. Happy 2020. All right, enjoy the show.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. So Jason is here, and let me just say this. We're going to get into it because Jason wrote a book, Jason Ellis, and I don't do this often, Jason. I'm busy. And I have an attention span of a gnat sometimes, but I sat down and devoured your book last night. So I think I have lots of things to talk to you about. So it's called Still Awesome, The Trials and Tribulations of an Egotistical Maniac.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sarcasm thing, but
I understand.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, we'll get to that.
Right.
We'll get to all of that. And you can also, you can send your questions also through Instagram. I know some people don't want to call in. You know, some people don't want to call into a radio station, Jason.
I get that.
You get it.
And it's like this new thing where people just want to DM you about everything.
Yes. And they do. They DM the questions. So what I, when I say go to Instagram, what I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. We actually, every night on the show, if you go to the stories, you click on the little, you know, my face is lit, has a little circle around it. Some people don't know. You click on it, and then you'll see, ask your question here. And then you ask your question, and then we answer it. So you can do it there.
That's smart.
You can also email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. See, Jason, we can learn from each other, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that until right now. I'm going to steal that from you.
You can do it. We learn from each other. And I've learned so much from you, Jason. This book. Yes, I learned more about you.
Oh, okay.
Because you're kind of, you're an enigma.
Yes, everybody says that to me.
You are, but now I understand. And I feel like we have a lot in common, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, a lot. So,
okay. Oh, now I'm very interested.
Yes, there's a lot. Well, I mean, it's not as sexy as you think, but, well, maybe. Maybe some of the sex stuff.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. They could find you at Wolfmate.
Yeah, yeah, on Instagram, yeah.
Ellismate, Twitter.
Yeah.
And then this book is still awesome. And you could go to our show notes, sexwithemily.com, click up. You'll have a link to buy it or buy it on Amazon or wherever.
JasonEllisBook.com is where you get it.
Get it from there.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah,
JasonEllisBook.com, so we can actually probably make some money on it.
Yeah, we're keeping this one. I had a New York Times bestseller, and it was more of a, can you believe, I can't even read. I've only read one book my whole life, and I have a New York Times bestseller. So that was so mind-boggling for somebody who has no education and is almost illiterate to pull that off. I mean, obviously, Tully helped me with this, but just to know that somebody cared enough to want that book to come out and enough people bought it till it was a New York Times bestseller, it made no sense to me, but the victory is done. Now, I just want to make this book get out everywhere. I don't want to do one tour. I'm copying Jude. Jude's done his hummingbird thing, and he just keeps going around to different cities.
Right.
Doing book signings and showing people his book, and he keeps all the money. And I thought, I've had a record deal before, and then we did our own record label, and the money we made from our own record label versus the record deal that we once had. Sure, we were on the Billboard charts and that sounded cool, but once I was on it once, I don't need twice.
Exactly.
Give me the money.
Right. No, you're right. That's really smart. Especially these days, it's so much easier to self-publish, do your own shows, do your own podcast even, do whatever. I get it. That's great. Well, that's really smart. So the first book, I'm Awesome.
Yes. Still
One Man's Triumphant Quest. Well, I understand because what I saw in this was kind of like your journey to get your like low self-esteem to self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe self-esteem is something that we always sort of work on. It's not like you're ever like super high. You're like, I'm just super confident today. But realizing how much your self-esteem was so debilitating. Mm-hmm. And then having to like, you know, really open up so much in here. I mean, I guess what I think I could identify with all that like negative self-talk. Because you open the book, you go back to your first marriage and like opening up about like, you're like, she should leave me. I'm an asshole. I'm a piece of shit. Like when you've low self-esteem, this is how you deal.
Yeah. I also was not a person you would want to live with as well. I'm a nice person, but I was not ready for a relationship. So sometimes when I talk badly about myself, that's sort of the coach in me. I've always responded to, you're not going to stop me. You know, so if I say something bad about myself to get up and get something done, it's worked for almost all my life. That's worked in a positive for me, where I'm like, listen, I'm not going to cuss here, but I'm like,
you could
listen, you piece of shit. You fucking nothing if you don't get up and do something right now. And that would make me get up. I now experiencing other people and seeing how people like words of encouragement and
words of affirmation.
And they do great things when you give them words of encouragement. I'm like, man, nobody ever did that for me.
Well, right. Well, that's because you had to self-parent.
Right. But these days I'm not, I catch myself being mean, but I really do try to not go there as much because it's still that animal that lives in me where I can just go down that dark road and make things that aren't true feel true to me.
Right, exactly, because our thoughts are not the truth.
Mm-hmm. Check you out.
Right? Well, no, it's right. Like the negative self-talk, which a lot of us think are motivating us, and I see the coach in you, but for me, I realized, like, I didn't know there was any other way. Like, I was always just so really hard on myself, and there was this one part where you're talking about your fight, because this goes back, you don't have years in it, which I really wanted context. I'm just saying, I didn't know the years. It's like 15 years? 20?
No, I mean, really, that just might go back a little bit here and there, but the first book is from before I had a radio show up until I had my first MMA fight, and then this one is from that day before I got divorced and all this other stuff happened from the radio show being so big and then me sort of finding a new person that was okay with this sexuality part of me that I've always hidden, and to the point where she kind of brought it out of me and I became more less concerned about other people's opinions of what I really liked. And then that sort of brought out this other side that is super recent to me, where I can gladly tell anybody at a restaurant or anywhere that I'm a, you know, pansexual man, and I'll suck dicks, baby. What's up?
Exactly. But that's even since I've known you, right? You'll suck dicks.
But it is new, but I'd say it, and I know some people get grossed out by it or they think it's a bit too much, but I just think that there's so many people out there that hide being me.
They do. And
it's not. I know that it might be a bit blunt, but that's me. If you listen to my show, you'll catch it.
I'm
a little bit pushy when it comes to saying stuff. But my theory is that if you hear it enough from a guy I could probably beat your ass. I probably got as many guns, and I can jump cars and motorbikes. I do all the things that don't usually come with this, and that's bullshit. You can be a man who loves tattoos and guys, and you can be vice versa, and everybody needs to get over it and not be like, look, man, don't put it in my face. No, that's bullshit, because there's kids that are hearing this, and you say, I don't want to hear about it, keep it to yourself. That means that it grosses you out. That means my existence grosses you out. I'm okay with that because I'm confident with who I am now. But you're talking, I think about the people that DM me that are 17 and 18 that are thinking about ODing or biting the bullet because they don't want anyone to find out that they're bi.
That they're bi or that they're gay.
Yeah.
So have you had a lot of people come up to you or DM you saying, thank you, you gave me permission to now come out about the fact that I'm bisexual or I want to be with men? Or
a lot lately. Because like I said, I would say the last 6 months I've sort of got a little bit more of I've really thought about it. Like, okay, now that you've found the things that you're happy and you're living this life, what does it all mean, and how can you help other people feel okay with it? Because some people don't realize it. I listen to a video, there's an audio book from my last book that's out on podcast to promote my new book.
Right.
And Tully found a bit where I was talking to him pretty much admitting that I have had gay encounters, and he just brushed over it, like thought I was being sarcastic, and he's listening to the tape again. I was listening to it yesterday, and it almost made me cry on the radio because I thought, I'm trying to tell him. I'm trying to tell anybody, but I'm so terrified at the same time. So when he didn't catch on, I just let him not catch on because I thought maybe he doesn't want to know. Maybe this is going to make our relationship wrong. Like, I have to worry about people not liking who I am anymore. Right. It's stupid.
It is. It is. But what do you, so when you get to it, what do you think that like deep fear is? Like, people find out you're bisexual and then what? Like, what goes beneath that? What happens?
You know, I want everybody to love me.
Right.
Yeah. You
know? Is that a radio thing?
It's so pathetic, but I at least I can admit it.
Yeah.
I wished everybody loved me. I wish I had a billion followers on Instagram and everybody told me how great I was all the time. I would love
Don't
that.
Don't they?
No. I mean,
not a billion, but
enough. They do enough, quite frankly. The way I react to people loving me, it's enough, because the ego is embarrassing as well. I've learned that from the radio. It's in the book. From where I thought I was, the show was really big, and I'm like, you know what? I think I might actually be the greatest radio host that ever lived. And so it was from feeling really small to thinking you're the biggest person in the room. And then I realized, man, you're really fucking annoying. And that shit is too much sometimes.
Right.
People don't need to hear how sensational you are all the time. Maybe you should just do your work and not
so
brag
were you
about
really
it.
So saying
much.
That on the show a lot, you'd be like, I'm the most.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't meet you until I started listening to it four years ago. I just got the blueprint from Howard Stern. I just saw, I didn't listen at radio.
Right.
Tony Hawk got me on the radio show because he thought I'd be funny. So I was his co-host.
That's an amazing story.
And then SiriusXM said, holy shit, would you like to have a job talking? And I was like, I'm not going to be a good skateboarder for much longer. Yes, I would like to try that. And then listening to Howard Stern, and then he was arguing with Opie and Anthony. And I'm like, who is Opie and Anthony? And I'm like, they're fighting each other. They don't like each other. And he's trying to steal my shit. And I'm like, okay, so that's my thing. I'm a competitor.
Right.
So this sounded like an exciting part of radio to me where maybe there'll be a guy as big as me that wants to have a fucking fight. Wow. And we can talk about it. Maybe we could step outside because you're from a place where that was okay. I grew up where that was okay. That was kind of a
in Australia, in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
People fought a lot.
I know, it sounds like it. Your childhood, it was not an easy childhood.
And then some parts were pretty easy, but some parts were tough.
Well, right. Well, that was the other thing is that, well, first of all, being a radio host, you're right. Like, I guess we're so different. Like, I never think, God, I hope I could fight other people around here. But I do think I want to be a great host and help people and be vulnerable and be real and open and be myself.
You caught on early with that one, and it took me a while. I wanted to win and I wanted victories. And then I realized
that could be more male, too.
Right. But it's not the objective at all. No. The most important thing to me now is, I didn't think that I could actually help anybody. At first, someone said, hey, man, you know, you get my day-to-day, you make it easier because you're funny. And I'm like, that's kind of helping. That could kind of consider that as a helping thing. And now when people are talking about another level of, look, you're not helping my day-to-day. I was thinking about killing myself. And now you're saying this, and now I feel better about existing. I'm like, okay, this is another level. This is almost like, can I raise my kids good? Level. Right. This is the most important thing I'll ever do in my life.
Yeah.
How the fuck did I get here?
Well, I think it's because you're willing to, what I see is you're not afraid to keep peeling back the layers of the onion, as they say.
Well, it makes me happier every time I find more out about who I really am and then admit it to somebody, I'm happier.
Right. Because you feel like you're holding it.
I'm happy thirsty. I spent too many years in the dark and being happy with being angry and dark with myself, and now I know every time I meet somebody who's a positive person and isn't full of shit, this makes my life happier, and then makes me want to help other people, which I have found makes me happier. And I just want to live happier day to day now than I did my time in the everyone hates me. I just want to be happy.
A terrible place to live too, thinking everyone hates you, and you got to keep keeping up, you got to keep reinventing yourself, you got to keep going. And now you're like, oh, the more real and authentic I am, people are going to resonate with that. And then, you know, people do love listening to this show, and then that drives you because you actually are helping them. I get it. That's why we're here, right? To help people, to change their lives. So I also think that the thing about therapy, I thought that you really, because I talk a lot about it in the show, about how everyone, I believe, needs therapy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's message after a while, be like, people have just stigma around it. Well, it means that I'm really broken, or they're going to put me away, or I can't afford it. Like, I think even for men sometimes, maybe I should say you should go see a coach, because maybe men don't want to go to therapy.
Yeah.
I'm just trying. But what I love is that you detail like where you were and how it got you there. And therapy, whether it was going to rehab and I loved your recent ayahuasca journeys, all the stuff that you've done, but especially it sounds like the talk therapy early on, really just helped you realize, you know, the patterns and having a place to go.
Yeah.
And I feel like you were just really able to demonstrate in your book that fucking therapy is the way. It is the way. Like, it is, you have to find a good one.
Yeah, that's very important too. So, and I feel a lot of people, when they first get one, if it's not the right one, then they go, oh, therapy, I tried that, it's terrible. I'm like, because that's not the case. There's somebody for everybody, and there's doctors. Just like when I was a pro skateboarder, there was other guys that used to be at the bar on a Saturday night that were telling girls they were pro skateboarders. And yeah, they might have received a couple of checks for riding a skateboard, but they weren't on our level.
Right.
And that's the same as doctors. It's the same as psychiatrists.
There's so many
everybody.
Charlatans. There's so many bad therapists, which you've also said. It's like, don't you find too, and you say a lot that you're gullible, and I feel like, is someone who's always like seeking. I had a childhood of trauma stuff too, and I'm always trying to find like someone who can help me, and you might be the guru or the helper. And then I think that the further along you go on your healing journey, you realize that a lot of people are full of shit.
Yeah, that one that one does happen a lot.
Right?
Especially in this game.
In the radio, in the entertainment. In
entertainment,
game?
Yeah.
Right? I'm just starting to realize that. Like, it's taken me a while because I was very trusting. And then I'm like, oh, just in a lot of ways, people are not what they say they are. But I think no. You can't go there until you do the work.
I just have found that one to be, that was new to me. I didn't know that that was the case. And that found that I was butthurt by that. Same as business. I've never been a businessman before. And then the radio show, all of a sudden I'm in big business and I'm doing business deals where there's real money involved here. And I was just a skateboarder that can barely read or write, and I know if you want to be good at something, you better be in it. You better have your head in it, and you right. better love it.
So you were kind of trusting people you're saying for business yeah. that you didn't know, and then yeah. you make mistakes. Yeah.
Well, I think you make a mistake by saying, I don't know anything. I'm just worth a lot of money. And someone goes, I'll help you.
Exactly.
You just said you don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? Just help me pay my bills, and there's a lot of money coming in. You can't. I don't think
yeah.
it's the average bear, especially if they're like an agent or whatever. They probably got this other alternative.
Oh yeah, ulterior motive. You think so? Yeah. Like 10%?
That's all.
Or 15%? So, Jason, we're gonna take some calls here.
Okay.
Hang out.
I like people.
Okay, let's talk to Waldo, 32, in Pennsylvania. Hey, Waldo, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, Emily, how you doing?
Good.
Love what you guys do over in the military. We put you guys on the Jumbotron and just let you guys beat the shit out of each other. It was awesome.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Jason? Wait.
Yeah, there's no way you're beating the shit out of each other, are you, Emily? Shit.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Whenever we would watch you guys on the MMA fights.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Got it. You yeah. put him on the Jumbotron. Got it. Okay. I was like, were we fighting? Cool, Waldo.
No.
Got it. Jason's the best.
But anyway,
what's going on?
You should have a fight, Emily.
I know.
You should fight at Alice Mania.
I would. I've been wanting to fight. I've been wanting to
get somebody the right size.
I've been wanting to find someone to train because I'm strong.
I'll train you.
Stop.
I'm not.
Are you just saying that? I'm
no,
in.
No. I will train you to
Dude,
be a killer.
That's a fucking dream.
Yeah, and then you should beat the shit out of some bitch at Alice Mania and we'll film it and have a big after party. It'll be cool.
Waldo, will you come?
Get a trophy.
Okay, I'm in. Dude, don't just say that shit.
I'm not say-
Okay.
Don't test me. You okay. will be punching
Wait,
people in like an hour.
No, all of you. I'm in. Waldo, what's going on? Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Well, actually, I called in last week, and you helped me on the basically communicating with my wife about making – or I wanted her to peg me more. And,
okay.
And all of that, and I actually talked to her, and she went for it. I mean,
awesome.
She told me just like you said, she didn't want to hear it in the heat of the moment. She
right.
wanted like more of like a planned thing.
Right.
And with us having kids, like it's not exactly something that can
you
be
just
like
whip
oh.
out, start pegging all
yeah.
of a sudden. Right? Okay. Good.
Yeah.
So this is great because, Waldo, you called in saying you had told her that you want to be pegged. She did it once, but it wasn't happening at the frequency you'd like. So then you
mm-hmm.
– right, good.
Are you washing before and all that?
Oh, of course.
Oh. Yeah. What kind of thing do you use to wash yourself out?
Wash it out? Just, like, clean. The area.
Not everyone needs an enema.
Yeah, but you eventually are going to have an accident, and that, I find, can – maybe throw some people off. Your wife might feel like maybe Sunday night pegging is a little bit more hesitant. I'm just saying, look, it's not that big of a deal to
okay.
wash out. I have a thing that's on my shower. I think the ones you have, whether you put the water bottle up your butt, I don't think those work very good unless you're like a pro that does it all the time. But for me, there's ones you can buy in the sex store, and it's like a metal one that connects to your shower head. And you just switch it from shower to the thing, and you put a bit of lube, and it's like a metal thing that goes up your butt, and it's just washed two times, and you are super good,
okay.
super good, well, super safe.
Thank you for that, Jason Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Waldo, this is great. Okay, so thanks, Waldo. Anything? So it was good. You guys got so really just a matter of communicating and finding out that she's totally down, but she needs a little bit of warning. You got to set it up. You got to like be in the mood to peg, especially when you got kids at home and you're busy. Awesome.
Right.
Okay. Anything else going on, Waldo? Well, thank you. I'm so glad that worked out. I love that you called back to let me know.
I appreciate the advice, and I really enjoy your show, and whenever Jason came on and saying about being like bisexual, and I my hat's off to you, because I was kind of in the dark about that for a while, and I kind of came out to my wife one day and just said, hey, I think I might be into sucking a dick.
Okay. So, right. And she was okay?
Yeah. She just kind of looked at me and she was like, okay. And she just kind of like went back to what we were doing. But
all right. Well, I think there's more conversations around that. I'm going to suck a dick. Yeah. What's for dinner?
That's kind of how I did it.
Yeah. Well, that's how we learn.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Waldo. I'm so glad. Yeah, so glad thanks, you found man. The show. Thanks for calling. Awesome. Take another call. Dave, because he's been holding. We got to know Dave 56 in New Jersey. He wants to know if his wife is falling out of love with him.
Uh-oh.
Dave, tell me everything. Why do you think she's falling out of love?
We've been married for 25 years. I'm 56 and she's 51.
Okay.
And sex was good, but she's suffering from, well, she's a little bit overweight, so she's a little self-conscious. And she's being tested for fibromyalgia, so her body does hurt a lot. And it just seems that she has absolutely no interest in having sex anymore. And I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do, because when we talk about it, she just gets frustrated and pissed off.
Right. Okay, so she said she's kind of out of shape. She's 51. And so, to me, what does this sound? Did you say she's 51 and she's not in great shape and she might have fibromyalgia and all these things? So, you guys have been together 25 years and she's not really in the mood for sex. Dave, here's the thing. I don't think we're talking about love. I think we're talking about the human condition. We're talking about being married, being with someone for 25 years, and she's gone through menopause likely, and she's not feeling great about her body. So, I think it's more about figuring out how to connect with her and find out what would she need to feel good again. And how, you know, when you get her back on board with sex, it's not just about like the frequency. It's more about getting her to remember that she's a sexual person and masturbating and figuring out, because when women get on board with sex and they're excited about it again, she'll be back. She'll want to do it. So have you talked to her about any of this and let her know that like how important it is to you?
Yeah, we have. And, you know, once I get past all the negativity and I finally get her, like, when she's really tired or first thing in the morning, and she's not really into saying no right away, like, don't touch, she'll get into it and she'll really enjoy herself. But she's just so negative right now that can't even get past the jumping off.
You don't think she's depressed?
Yeah, she's depressed. She got put on a bunch of weight and got that disease. Like, how's that supposed to make you happy about your day? That's heavy stuff.
Is she getting help for that?
Yeah, we're getting help. And it's been an interesting, an emotional ride. We have a couple of kids that have special needs, and they're getting into their upper teens now. So we've had a very emotional ride, but we've been together and we love each other. I truly think we love each other, you know, unconditionally. You
know, I know that this is not the answer, but a better diet. I'm not sure about the fibromyalgia, but I feel like there's a lot of plant-based diets and a lot of, even Dr. Drew Penske, who only has meat and eggs and did something where he cured himself. There's a lot of different diets for different kinds of people. And I feel like if she does feel she's overweight and she eats a cleaner diet, at least she would lose more weight. But you might even find that she has a lot more energy and she might not be in as much pain from stuff like that. And then there's CBD creams and there's a bunch of other stuff that you can do if you use that Google button.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that could make things easier for her. Maybe not she's that not into sex, but at least not in as much pain.
Right.
If
you help her
good.
On her journey, she might need you to help out, nurture and help her figure out the steps to take. And then she'll feel like she has a partner of this. And then she might feel more connected and loving. But I think what Jason is saying, like, we just, you know, help her get through this. It's not an easy time. But I think, Okay, Dave?
I think that sounds great. And I have one other question that has to do with the human anatomy. What exactly is in when a woman squirts? Is that urine or is that
it's
something else?
It's traces of urine. Like on another note, on a lighter note, there's traces of urine in it. It's from the periurethral fluids. You find that it's some urine. It's not all urine. But even if it is, I say, so what?
But if you see the ones in porn where it goes flying really far, That's pee.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just feel really awesome when I can do that, you know, and she feels that good. So.
That's great. Yep. I think as long as she feels good and you feel good, doesn't matter what's coming out of it. Just throw some towels down, you know,
right.
Or a tarp. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for calling. Keep us posted. I'm here every night.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we come back even more with Jason Ellis.
Jason Ellis, you just got to come stop by here often after your show and talk about everything. But you're busy because you got this still awesome book to promote.
Yeah.
And you are really awesome, Jason. So I love just how, even since I've known you, and we've gotten to know each other better, but like you, when I first met you, you're just MMA, fire, have your show, you're tough. And then you were on my podcast a few years ago. You're like, oh yeah, and I sometimes get blowjobs in the steam room. And and sometimes I'm like, okay, good. And you're just so, and I know this hasn't been an easy journey for you.
No.
But, you know.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I know a guy that I make out with now. I never used to kiss guys. I
know
didn't
you
like that.
Wow. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I like making out with him.
I don't want to
just go around making out with everybody now, but like it's easier for me to kiss girls. I like kissing girls.
Right.
I don't think I've ever kissed a girl where I'm like, ew, this isn't working. But most of the time a guy ever tried to kiss me, I feel like I'm like inappropriately kind of pull away a bit. I've always felt like, you ever seen that Boondock Saints movie where the guy's a cop and he's gay, but he doesn't really act like one?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, I just could relate to that movie. I've always thought, because I was always very confused with that stuff. I'm into it, but there were certain things that I thought were too much.
Right.
And now from sort of slowing it down, and now I kind of like, I would like to know a guy that I like mentally. He's my friend, and we can hook up whenever my wife thinks it's okay.
Because I love this. So this is the thing now with Katie. So in finding a wife that you're both... you're open.
Mm-hmm.
Like being monogamous never, you know, made sense to you.
No,
which I understand.
It's failed. I failed miserably, and I hurt people because of it. So I was content on being single or being with somebody that was going to be okay with me living that kind of lifestyle. I just wasn't. I have no time for lies anymore. I just don't. I hate myself.
Right.
Like if things don't get the way that they don't go the way I want, it's only a matter of time. You know what I mean? I'm kind of attractive. I'm funny. Someone's going to want to sleep with me, and I'm going
to
do it. I'm not that good.
What am I supposed to do about it? Right.
Yeah, I would rather just go. The hardest thing for me is to say, because our deal is you got to ask first. And sometimes, most of the time, especially with girls, I don't know when a girl's going to like me. And that's pretty freaking rare these days. And when they do, I'm like, whoa, what? Really? You want to? What? Wait, I've got to text my wife and say this is okay. It's like a weird, uncomfortable, inappropriate thing for me to want to do. I'm like, I don't want to just stop the way this is going and get on the phone with my wife. She's like, who? What are we talking about here? And I got to break it down. But I've just found that I just do it.
The
and if she says no, I'm so lucky these days where with what I can do, it's too much, quite frankly.
Right.
I get away with absolute murder. She's like, this girl really likes me. Have fun. And she's like, I got my nose things getting poured out, so I'm not really that good to you anyway. And I'm like, okay, that's the sweetest thing ever, but I should say thanks, baby, but I'll probably just come home. Anyway, but I take it sometimes because I can.
Because you can do that now. But here's the thing. Okay, so in reading your book, it's like, I think, you said that it's if you want to be monogamous, or that anyone who thinks that they want to sleep with other people and they're married, like that's just not, it might not be for you to be. When I was 19, I remember thinking, I can't fucking imagine sleeping with one person for the rest of my life. That never seemed like it made any sense. And then through my 20s, I kept dating people two years. And I was like, and then I would end up cheating.
Well,
I was like, this does not feel good to me. Am I broken? Is something wrong with me? Like, why am I a cheater? So then I was like, I'm never going to commit until it actually works for me. And I realized I haven't really committed since then. But I mean, a little bit here and there, but it's been open, or it's been just because I want to. But the second I don't, I realize I don't want to cheat. So what I'm saying is, do you think, and that wasn't easy. I thought it was crazy. But now more and more people are opening up. Then people are just kind of, I feel like in the last few years, and I've been in this realm for like 15 now, and it was insane. People like swinging would break up a relationship or opening it up. People are just insane. Or all swingers have ponytails, or all the things that people believe. And now people are thinking, oh, yeah, this can actually work. So you actually are an example of this. You're having a successful non-monogamous relationship.
I do want to add, though, because I feel like it's hard work. We stress each other out with this stuff sometimes. Like, I don't like it if a guy's too friendly and texting her all the time. I'll lean over and be like, what, are you texting that guy again? Yeah, and now I'm on a little jealous thing. But I could, if I went and added up who's fair here, I'm getting away with murder. I should be letting her text anybody she wants, but I'm protective. I'm jealous. And right. I'm like, that's pretty insulting that you're the jealous guy who's like, oh, you know what I mean? What's her name? Wants me to hang out with her tonight. That okay with you? And it's usually 5 seconds. Sure.
Yeah, and you're like, yo, who's this guy? Joe.
Yeah, if it was some dude named Joe wanted to hook up with Katie, I would go, show me photos.
Okay, but here's the thing. Show me photos.
I want to see.
What does his dick look like? Do you ever do that? Do you have a dick thing or no? You're pretty confident.
No, I'm all right with that.
Okay, that's good. That's not one of your points.
Does he have bigger muscles or hair?
But if he has hair.
Yeah, like because I don't have hair, and some people, if they lift a lot of weights and they look buffer than me, then maybe I care for like 3 seconds about that.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I could knock him out. So that's okay.
The thing is, you're like, as long as I can beat his ass.
Yeah, don't sleep with anybody tougher than me. Right. That would be tough.
That's it.
I'm joking.
But it still can be hard though. But the thing is, monogamy is really hard for people. And it's not that non-monogamy is for everybody. It's just more like, I love that now people realize they actually have other options if it's not their jam. Diana, 38 in California, wants to comment on open relationships.
Okay.
Hi, Diana. Thanks for calling. It's Emily and Jason Ellis here.
Hi, Emily and Jason. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So my husband and I have been previously married, and we were both in monogamous relationships previously before our marriage. And now that we have an open relationship, our marriage is so much more better. And I know that people don't understand that. But we're both just so much happier, and you can just tell, like, in our relationship, that openness just allows us to communicate more, and you also feel a little bit more attractive, you know, with each other, and that flirtatiousness and being able to go out and say, hey, honey, you know, so today I was flirting with, you know, X guy, and, you know, it was fun, and he can ask questions and we take it home, or we go somewhere and take that relationship somewhere else and take it to the next level or have fun. But we find that we have had so much more of a better marriage this time around than we did last year. And we've been married for 7 years now.
Wow. See, that's really impressive. And
it's
that's
easier
great.
When
deep
you're a little
mature,
too. I feel like when you get into it when you're young, because it always sounds so glamorous when you're young, like, yeah, let's be swingers. I can sleep with, and the guy's thinking, I can sleep with a bunch of girls. That's all he's thinking.
Exactly.
He's not ready for the other side of that.
Because my husband, him being so confident, helps so much, you know, that he's just comfortable and he is okay with, you know, his wife being looked at, and, you know, and it just makes me look at him like, wow, you're even more sexier.
Right.
You know?
It keeps that tension going. So you're not going to be one of these couples that gets so bored with each other. Kind of keeps you on your toes. Like you said, keeps it exciting, keeps it hot, but you still, you know, you come home to each other. Diana, thanks for calling.
Exactly.
I love it. Keep doing you. Awesome. Jason Ellis is Wolfmate on Instagram. And Ellis Made on Twitter. And you can get his new book, Still Awesome. Which I was riveted. Last night I went home. I never do this. They know. I don't go home and just read. I'm too fucking busy and tired and hungry.
It's interesting, right? There's weird stuff
so
in there.
Good. Dude, let's get into it because I literally have too. I'm so overwhelmed with my notes. Like, but I like when you talk about, here's the thing. You talk about the patterns that you have in. For me, there was a big moment at the end. When you talk about patterns you've had in relationships and you realize that you, when Katie broke up, your wife now, but when you first, I mean, the first year you were dating, she leaves, she's like, she says something to you. She says, you shut down, Jason. You've shut down completely and I'm out of here. And then you had this light bulb moment. You're like, I've heard this before.
Yeah, exactly.
So for 30 years, maybe women, high school, you said in high school, women have been saying to you, you shut down. You have this pattern in relationships. And I kind of think we all do, but most of us don't do the work to kind of realize if you hadn't gone to therapy and gone through all these things, you wouldn't have had that light bulb moment. You could have been going into your 70s and a woman would be like, hey,
right,
Jason.
Well, it took 3 generations. So the third time when the third love of my life said that, and I thought, wait, you're wrong. You are wrong. This is not her. This is for sure you, because all three of them were not the same. They weren't. I'm not the kind of guy that actually goes there. I don't have a type, you know?
Yeah.
So they're not. They don't have that. All three of them couldn't have anything less in common.
Yeah.
And, but they said the exact same thing, and I'm like, "It's you, dude. You do this thing where you build resentment, and then you switch off until they leave.
Because yeah.
they're like, I don't. What's the point of even being here? You're not even there. You're not right. even home anymore.
Exactly. And it's that resentment, and then not being able to communicate that resentment, and then convincing yourself of a story, then withdrawing.
And then when she leaves, I realize that you know, this is the person that you wanted to be with for the rest of your life, and you pushed her away because you can't have a conversation.
And then that's when you went back and did the therapy work.
I met my dear friend, Joel Madden, who I trust, said that he had met a therapist that had really helped him with his life. And Benji and Joel were really good friends to me, and they had a lot of positive things that I took from them, because they were very positive people that had also been through some tough times when they were kids. And I believed them, and I knew that Katie would not even consider taking me back if I didn't see this particular therapist. So I just was all in 100%.
And then you had to go in, and it was like once a week for a long time. Still is, right?
Yeah.
You're just not done. So let's talk about, because you were molested. You write about that you were molested as a child
mm-hmm.
by your dad.
Yeah.
Which is devastating.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people are dealing with sexual abuse, sexual trauma, and it really does have an impact on your life.
I blocked it out my whole life. I took a bunch of crystal meth and acid after a skateboard demo, and then I had an imaginary friend, and the imaginary friend told me in a hotel swimming pool that my father molested me, and I was probably 26 when that happened. And my girlfriend at the time, who witnessed that, told my mom. My mom was like, I thought he forgot that. You know, I thought he'd never remember that. That was when he was, you know, 3 or 4 or something. And then they were like, it wasn't your father. It was the neighbor. You got it mixed up because he had red hair. And the next day I went back to my father's house, and I came out of my bedroom that only lived there like half the time because I was already, I think I was going to America. I'm not sure. But anyway, I walked in. He's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey. And he goes, do you think you got molested? I said, yeah. You think it was me? I was like, nah. And he's like, oh, all right. And then I just walked out in out the door and got on a train and went to the ramp. And then many years later, when I was 40, and I went to rehab and I did some, some thing where they make
EMDR?
You something. I don't know, where you kind of remember your childhood a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I started to recall some stuff. And then it wasn't so much that. It was more, I recalled that conversation when I was an adult where he said that, and now I'm a father of 2, and I know that if my son said that and said that and told somebody that he thought it was me, it'd be a lot more of a fucking discussion than, do you think it was me? No, sounds good. Never bring it up ever again. And then I also found out that the neighbor guy, he went over there and yelled at him. I've seen my dad knock people's teeth out for cutting him off on the freeway. I've seen my dad almost kill people for looking sideways at him. You know, I mean, he used to be a pretty violent guy, and to know that this neighbor supposedly molested me and he just fucking warned that guy, it just didn't add up. And then I saw a doctor that put me on MDMA therapy. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Oh. So I was reluctant because I used to do a lot of drugs and I didn't want to do those kind of drugs ever again, even though it sounded kind of cool, but I was just like, I don't think you should do ecstasy or MDMA or cocaine,
right.
or those things you should just always stay clear of. You're too fucking old.
Right.
So I did it, and then I retraced a bunch of stuff. I could just remember all these things.
While you were on the MDMA with the therapist?
Yeah, he walked me through it. So it was like 2 or 3 hours of hit with me, like remembering, you know, my father coming in with this heat lamp and like being on top of me because I would sleep on my stomach and I just pretended that I was asleep. And then I remembered being underneath my mattress of my own bed with my fingers in the cage stuff in the spring and my toes in it. So my back was off the ground. So I was underneath the mattress and I see the heat lamp coming again. Mm. And then when the heater got right up close to me, I just said, please stop. And the heater turned around and went out.
Wow.
And then I started to feel like my father knew that I really didn't want that to happen to me anymore. And he realized that he'd done something really bad. And then I started to feel sorry for him in the same like hour or two, realizing he knows he fucked me. You know, like he ruined my life. And he had to live with that. And I know that his father probably did it to him. Well, and I'm exactly. like, it ends here. You know what I mean? Like, you might have done that to me, but I'm on top of shit now.
Right.
I didn't fucking die. You didn't kill me. And my kids are fine. And nobody's touching my fucking kids, me and anybody else. And if they did, you'd be dead. You'd be, there's no, right. there's no, and I knew my father to, I have the same gene. Don't cross us. You know, there's a point we will go that you won't. So right. I just added all that up and thought, I don't need to do any more MDMA therapy to run any more of like what could have potentially right. happened after that. I just know that that's enough. It was really painful to know that it happened, but I'm better wow. for it now.
Yeah, you had know? To, what, that's so powerful. I mean, that you actually were able to, I've had that in some EMDR therapy, which is like trauma therapy. Yep. I've remembered shit that I didn't remember before. And you're like, but you were, yeah, we just, it's so, so many of us are walking around so just numb with whatever we can. I think you described that moment. You're like, I left after my dad's that day and you're like, I stuffed it down as far as it would go. And yep. I think a lot of us walk around, especially with things like trauma, sexual trauma, and we just, where there's nowhere to go that's safe. Like, where would we go? And then we wonder why we have challenges sexually. And
right. There's a lot of reasons. I felt like I didn't get tough enough to have to, my body didn't let me know until I was tough enough to handle it.
Yeah, that's my theory true too. On
it. I felt my body was like, dude, when you were a pro skateboarder flying around the world getting paid to ride a skateboard, we don't need to tell you this right now. You need to like maybe get a wife, get a divorce, have a kid, and then we'll tell you about right, exactly. what your dad really did to you.
I like the way of looking at that.
Yeah.
It's true. But and then you also went and did ayahuasca therapy?
Yes, I got off antidepressants because of that, because I was on antidepressants after the divorce. I really tried to hide from doing those. And the doctor, I said, I did it for a year. Can I get off it now? He's like, why do you want to get off it?
Yeah.
I'm like, because I don't want to be on antidepressants. Is that not a good enough argument? He's like, you know, they don't do anything to you. They don't hurt you. And I'm like, I just got this feeling like, you're spinning shit at me.
Right.
And now I'm, and then he told me the statistics of when you get off antidepressants, the stats of you getting back on right. them, it's very high. It's almost not worth it. And I'm like, wow. Okay, this guy's making me want to fight it. And then I've got friends from Onnit, Aubrey Marcus, and I've always heard about their ayahuasca journeys, but I was terrified. I'm like, wait, you see death, you die. I don't want to fucking right. die. You're hippie. Like, you've lost your minds. But then with hearing about the people, anxiety, depression, people that were far more worse off than me that went to this thing and did it and were cured.
Cured.
And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to give it a go.
Wow.
And it worked.
And when did you do it? How long ago?
It was about a year ago now, okay. I think. But I have been off the meds for over a year and I've never been happier in my whole life. And I got twice my energy back. I started training. That's why I had a couple fights again. I got like, I can train 5 days a week and not be so tired that I would get run down and feel sick. Now I have energy back.
That's amazing. Yeah. The story. Well, we need to talk about that offline. I want to go try all these drug therapies. Because you got to try everything once. I've tried everything.
I don't know about everything. But yeah, well, I feel like these ones are really groundbreaking stuff.
Okay, well, you're doing great work. And your book is so inspiring and real and
thank you,
authentic. Jason Ellis, still awesome. Check out his book at jasonellisbook.com. Thank you all. And thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.